Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer, so let's bring her out. A star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Have you had any chocolate?
I had my chocolate. I ate it.
It's dark chocolate.
I know. It's good.
Do you like dark chocolate?
I love it.
Me too.
Rich says it's almost as bad as anything you can eat.
I don't give a shit what Rich
says. I'm just relaying some things that I've heard about dark chocolate.
That's great. Listen, all I have to say is I'm very excited about today's podcast.
Me too.
No one asked you, Lauren. Now, let me give you the rules of the Kill Me Now podcast.
Okay.
Our guest today is the incredible, wonderful, smart, funny.
Thank you. Is it me?
No.
Oh. Talented.
That's how you know it's not you. Sexy.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
She's a mother. She's a wife.
Mm-hmm. She's a MILF.
You know what? I had a joke ready to go, and you fucked it up, Lauren.
Yeah. Sorry, boss.
Lauren.
She's a mother. She's a wife.
Yeah.
She's a slut. Ladies and gentlemen, here today on Kill Me Now is the one, the only, Bonnie McFarlane.
Thank you,
Bonnie McFarlane. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Now, Bonnie, you know Lauren.
Yes.
Who is transgender.
Yes.
And
debatable.
Lauren, I seem to think, shouldn't be talking as much as he thinks he should be talking.
I had this issue last night on doing a radio show.
Really?
One of my friends was there. I let her sit in the thing, and then she babbled the whole
really?
Time.
Really? What radio show? Was that your radio show?
You co-hosted it. You
right.
sat in for me. My wife
right.
hates me.
Yeah, I know. But who was the other...
It was Andrew Schultz and Judah Friedlander were the guests.
And who didn't shut up?
My friend Kate from Montreal.
What happened? Was she co-hosting?
No. I just let her sit in that chair. Mm-hmm. Said you could just say something if you want, you know. But then in the middle, you can't just start smacking someone.
Well, I can.
Shut the fuck up.
Right. And why
she does.
Lauren, speaking of Judah Friedlander, he's supposed to be on, he can do that stupid radio show and he can't be on my podcast?
I know. I keep asking.
Well, he said last night that he does not like you at all.
That's so funny because we made out at the Cellar the other night.
You made out with Judah?
No, I'm a lesbo.
No.
Oh, all right. Anyway, so Bonnie... kill me now. You know, we do talk about things that piss us off
right. The
most. I did have a major kill me now moment this week, which has probably never happened to you. But I went to this, this little boutique store that's on Broadway right mm-hmm. here. And, you know, it's like this French one. What is with your phone, Lauren?
I'm doing things for the show that you don't normally see because we're not normally at your kitchen table.
Anyway, so,
I thought that was a great answer.
I don't understand him at all, and it's really hard. That's all I have to say. It's really,
really hard.
I have Henry, who's 18, Ben, who's 13, and Lauren, who is annoying. All right, anyway, but I love him. Anyway, here's the thing. So, I go to this boutique. You know, I can't buy clothes, so this is a big problem. I'm 6'2"-ish. I'm large build. I have very broad shoulders, very large cock, and very large feet.
Right.
And so it's hard for me to buy clothes. So I find this like boutique from this French woman who opened and she buys all these clothes in Paris, and they're great. And I walk in, and because I saw something in the window, and I go in. Meanwhile, I end up, Elise and I, you know, we're lesbos, so we like to, you know, we go shopping together. And so I end up buying all this stuff. It's like fits me perfectly. Everything is like 75% off. And I had to go to the Penn and Teller opening.
That's a great price.
Is it not? So I had to go to the Penn and Teller.
I like those numbers.
Okay. Anyway, so I have to go to the Penn. Did I mention I went to the Penn and Teller opening?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
so I'm going
yes.
to the Penn and Teller
Who's
opening
Penn
with
and
Elisa.
Was there a red carpet?
Yes, there was.
So you did. You had to get something glam.
You know, I just wanted to look and look great and feel comfortable. So, and these clothes are great, and they're hip and cool. And I had the whole outfit picked out. And I decided, you know, I have very bad ADD, and to the point where I literally will be late because I think I have enough. I always think I have enough time. And I never have enough time.
But you suffer also from never wanting to be too early. Is that fair to say?
I never want to be too early.
Right. So then
because
you're always
coming
up to the edge.
Right. And I always come up to the edge. Oh, no, I can get ready in this mountain.
Yes.
No, yeah. And
right.
I don't realize how long things take.
Yeah.
This is a complaint that Elisa has. And I really don't ever realize how long. I don't give it enough time. Anyway. So I decided for this, and I do have these little fits before I go out. So it's like, oh, my God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing... Like, it's never my fault. It's God.
God's fault.
It's God. I even will do a Jesus thing, even though I'm Jewish. It's a lot of God, Jesus, you know. And I bargain. I do the whole bargain. Like, you know,
you
I promise
like
tomorrow. Yeah,
of grief.
Yeah, of grief.
Religion can be handy.
So, anyway, I don't like the way I feel, but I do it all the time.
Uh-huh.
So, I decided for this Penn and Teller thing, I was going to get ready. Elisa had to run home, get contacts, and I was going to do, I said, I will do your makeup. Leave your outfit here. She likes when I do her makeup. And I am going to be ready, and we're going to have no issues, and we're
right.
going to be there on time. So anyway, I get all ready. I'm all ready. She's supposed to be there at like 10 to 7. She doesn't show up. I'm like, no problem. 7 o'clock will be fine. She doesn't show up at 7. But I'm all ready except for my outfit. So I start putting on my outfit that I bought at the store. And I'm like, wait, this blouse, I think, is supposed to be bigger. Wait, no, maybe this goes with this. It's like a granimally, you know, like a lot of the things could go with each other. Anyway, the point is, that she gave me the wrong fucking size. Okay? She gave me the wrong size. What? I was like, God, why? Why do I go in a store? I tried the thing on. I handed it to her, and yet in the bag is a fucking wrong size. And it wasn't even, it was like, I'm a size 7 in this French thing.
Right.
And guess what she gave me?
4.
One! A size 1! I'm sorry for yelling. Whoever's listening, I'm really sorry.
No, but
a
that's
size 1. It's not even... I know it looks like a 7, but it's a fucking 1. So then I was, like, crying and...
Can you go back? Is it closed?
I did. I already... No, it was closed by then. And then I called her. So then I put together an outfit I didn't want to wear. Like, right. My white pant... I'm always wearing my white Eileen Fisher crop jean pants that I got, like, 3 years ago. And, like, I just didn't want to wear them.
Sounds cute.
Anyway, the point is... I wanted, that was, I fucking, and
right,
I don't know, why does that
there?
Happen to me?
Because
like, I, and then Elisa says to me, oh, you talk to her too much. You know what your problem is? You talk to the merchant.
She blames the victim.
She always blames me. She always blames me, even though it's happened, this shit happens. Has that ever happened where you went to a store and then...
And no, this does happen to you. This is...
All the time,
this
right?
This is your thing.
No one understands.
Happen, it will
if, like, people, I'll go to a cash register and they'll literally be like, oh my God, I don't know what's going on. This hasn't happened before. Can you just wait? I swear to God.
Every time.
I go to the gym all the time. I'll touch a treadmill or something, a bike, and all of a sudden it won't work.
I wonder if...
And then I go to another bike and it works, and then someone else comes and sits on the bike that I was on, and I'm like, it doesn't work, and then they go on
right,
and work.
Right, I've had that.
Do you think I have bad... What do you think I'm like...
Well, some people do have a weird thing.
I think your energy...
Their body energy is...
That you're giving out.
But I give positive energy. Like, I'm happy. I was happy that I found those clothes.
Maybe you just need to learn how to redirect your energy in a different way. And
did you
I think
hear
you
a voice?
Do that by
what's that?
Did you hear a voice? Someone talking about redirecting energy?
Oh, yeah. let me fix that.
What do you
that.
Mean redirecting my energy?
I just think that we give out sound vibrations, and that's
oh god, I can't.
Oh
anyway,
my god.
Energy. That
Bonnie,
means.
And if you think positive thoughts, you get everything.
No,
you've
this
ever
is the
other,
this
life.
Is my other.
That's
pet.
One of the things that bugs me is when people talk about the secret. Oh, I can't take
no,
it.
No. It's I'm not talking
yeah,
about
no,
the secret.
No, it's all the same shit. And about how to be positive. First of all, if you're a comedian, you shouldn't be positive. You shouldn't be positive.
You can't
all the
be
time.
Fucking positive.
Your whole job is to try to tear apart what's going on.
No, this
I'm not
is the best.
To change Judy at all.
Look,
I'm just trying to.
Don't
it's
not
going to
happen. Listen, I was in the show Clinton the Musical that you and Rich didn't have time to see, and I was sharing a dressing room with Carrie Butler, who's Tony nominated, like amazing talent. Anyway, and so she's really petite and skinny and has a perfect body, and it's really annoying. And I would get changed. I am very immodest; like I'll walk around there without any clothes. Like I don't care.
No.
And yeah, I do.
I've seen Judy's boobs like 14
yeah.
million times.
Okay, Elisa, jealous. And so...
Don't worry.
Anyway, the point is that I was like, oh my God, look at me. I'm so, and I always make fun. I always tell everyone in the cast, listen, I'll be in my underwear and I'll be like, my glute DVD, Golden Glutes, is coming out. I want you to guys. It's going to be really great. And then I turn around, you know. Anyway, so... And then I'm like, hey, guys, can you come to the opening of my new app video? But anyway, so I was like, oh, my God. Look, I don't know. I felt enormous and bloated. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so fat. And then someone young from, like, wardrobe or hair or something, you know, yeah, comes in and says, you know, Judy, if you keep saying that you're fat, all you're going to see is fat.
Oh, God.
You know what? The reason all I see is fat because I have fat.
Yeah.
I have a little fat.
Well, that bugs
that's
me too. I don't even want people.
So if I say I'm not fat, then I could be like, oh my God, I am not fat. I mean, I have to lose 30 pounds, but I'm not fat. Like, no.
Mm-hmm.
That's the secret.
Somebody's trying to get the secret in.
I'm sick of
well,
it.
Well, here's the secret. I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about science.
Okay, Lauren, I don't know where that came from.
I don't think saying, like, positive energy flowing.
All right, we're done with this conversation.
It's boring. I got out of hand.
I want to talk to Bonnie McFarlane about Bonnie McFarlane. Not about Rich Voss.
Thank you. Although, usually that's where I'm
directing my hate. Bonnie McFarlane. So, Bonnie, you grew up in Canada.
Yes.
On a farm.
Yes.
I'm fascinated by this. So,
okay.
I found out that you grew up on a farm where you literally would get up in the morning and chop the chickens' heads like you were...
Well, I didn't do that every day, but that was like, you know, once a year we would have to harvest the chickens.
Like the whole family?
Yeah.
Like, was that a family outing?
That was a family thing. My job and the neighbor would chop the heads off, mm-hmm. and the chickens would run, and my other sister
Wait,
would...
Wait, the chickens... would run without their heads.
Yes, and then my sister would grab the chickens wherever they fell. And you, mm-hmm. Sometimes at the end of the day, you'd have to keep, oh, there's one under the car. You know, you'd have to go find.
So did you feel guilty?
Fun.
Did you feel guilty about chopping the chickens' heads
well,
off?
Well, at the time, I really was seeking my father's approval.
Right.
So my sister obviously didn't want to do it.
And you think you're doing that with being
Rich.
Married to Richard?
Rich fulfills a lot okay. of my family.
Okay. So... You literally, and you have three older siblings? Are you, you're the youngest?
I'm the youngest.
Of four?
Of four.
Okay.
All girls.
All right. And so all of you did this? Were participated in this?
Yes, but my one sister would cry throughout the whole thing.
Okay.
She was very tender-hearted. But nobody made, she wasn't allowed to quit. I mean, she still had to do it.
So did your mother do this?
So my so then my father, there'd be a big vat of hot water, mm-hmm. And you dip the chicken in the vat of hot water and string them up, mm-hmm. and so the blood would come out, and then you could take the feathers off them pretty easily from the hot water. I guess that
right.
was my sister's job, which she would cry,
the crying
doing
sister,
it, oh tears God, mingling with the feathers
right.
beneath. Yes, and
is she a vegetarian?
No, okay. but I am. Yeah,
you're a vegetarian.
I'm a vegetarian. Yeah.
Wow. Now
and then, they'd go into where my mom would clean them and freeze them.
Oh, your mother did the cleaning
whatever.
And
yes,
all
yes,
the.
Yes.
Of course, because she's a woman.
That's
now,
right.
Now, did you? What? At what age did you become a vegetarian?
Around 19, I was a vegetarian, and then.
And did you come home, and your parents were like
horrified?
What
horrified.
The hell is going on?
Yeah.
How did they speak? Were they? Educated? Were they?
Well, my mom's farmery. Educated. My mom's a school teacher. My dad's a farmer, probably eighth grade education,
right.
you know.
And
he grew up in an era where the boys had to quit school in eighth grade to work on the farm.
Right. Wow. And he met your mother, the school teacher. How'd they meet?
She was
his
in the same
teacher.
Town on a farm. She,
right.
I mean, she started teaching school when she was 19. If it was nowadays, she'd definitely probably fuck the students. You know, she'd be
you
one
think.
Of those. Well, she was pretty hot and, She the first
Did they
class she taught was high school. She was
wow.
just a few years older than everyone else.
And was did she go to college?
She went to college for 2 years.
That's not high school teaching.
Well, then later in her career, they said you need 4 years, and so she went back summer schools and night
right,
schools.
Right.
And
oh
wow.
my God, I love
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
Now, what did
That's
they
the
talk? Was your father smart?
My dad's a smart guy. He's invented a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he would make, like a potato planter he invented, which went on the back of a tractor, and
mm-hmm.
then you could just drop potatoes in, and then the earth would cover over
That's fantastic.
Top of them. It was a pretty
And
good...
what did they talk about? What did they talk about?
My parents?
Mm-hmm. Did they have
you know,
a lot?
I only really... They did not fight. Mm-hmm. I do remember them, when they fought, they would go to the garage
mm-hmm.
and have their fight.
Did your father mm-hmm. ever try to chop your mother's head off?
No, there was no domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I do remember once my father was trying to get my mom to do something, help him with... The truck was stuck or something,
mm-hmm.
and he was yelling at her. She wasn't driving it properly, and she slammed the truck door and walked into the house and said, if you wanted if you wanted a man to help you, you should have married one.
Yeah! Oh, I love Bob. What's your mother's name?
Heather.
I love Heather.
Yeah.
Heather? Who has a mother named Heather?
Sorry.
My mother's
name was
Ruth.
I couldn't do anything about it.
Ruth. Heather?
Yeah.
Heather's
yeah, Heather.
Like my age. Is your mother my age?
No, Heather. I mean, Heather was like an old-fashioned name for a long time. It just kind of got popular again.
Well, your father married her because Heather
And his name
Heather.
Is Carl.
Hey!
It's
his
Carl.
Name's Carl is so German.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're living... How close is your closest neighbor?
Like a half mile.
What?
Yeah.
So, like...
But I'll tell you something. What we did every day that you won't believe, that I even have a hard time believing now, is we all had horses, so we rode horses every day. Like
No
like,
way.
Like bicycles. Yeah.
Like to little... Like little house... Like you'd go to your
the
neighbors,
neighbors
on the horse and then
to the
ride.
Beach, yeah.
What was your favorite horse's name?
Well, we all had our... Well, Candy was the mom, and then she had two... babies or whatever. Yeah. So licorice and soda pop were
Which
the two
did
babies.
You like better, licorice?
Well, licorice and soda pop were not trained as well as candy, so we all...
You
wanted candy.
So, like, when I would get in the car and be like, I want the front seat, you guys would be like, I get candy!
Well, she was the hardest to catch, though, because she was wily. But you would just take your bridle out, and you would just go get whatever one you could get, and then you jump on, no saddle or anything.
This reminds me so much of my childhood in New Jersey. Uh-huh. I can't even tell you.
In Clark?
Yeah, Clark, New Jersey. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so... were you guys really close, the sisters?
Well, we were. I mean, we fought a lot and stuff, but yeah, we were.
Because
really...
you were, wow.
Because we were.
What was your school like? Is it a one-room schoolhouse?
No, it was, there's actually an Air Force base really close by the town. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of kids from the Air Force base that were actually pretty worldly because they'd been to a lot of different places. And this was just one of the stops. And then the small town people town. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of rural farm people. So it was it was a mix. There's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of fighting.
Did you ever ride a horse stoned?
No. Oh my God. No, I never did.
Really? No. Or drunk?
No, I don't think so. I think we stopped running to get the horses at that age.
You know, because kids, that's what I'm worried about. Henry's getting his license. I'm like, you cannot. And he's like, I won't.
But we drove drunk
all the time.
Oh, well, out in the boonies.
I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal, I guess. But
yeah,
it really
isn't a big deal, driving drunk.
If you do it with friends,
so you have three sisters. One of them is mentally disabled, is that correct?
Yeah.
Which one is she?
Lynn is the second oldest.
And you're very close with her.
She's the best. She's amazing.
I think they're angels.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've heard people say they're so innocent or they're so, I mean, Lynn has exactly the same problems as everybody else. It's just, she's been she wants to find someone that's going to love her. You know, if she could get on Tinder, she would.
Right.
She has a job. She has her dramas at her job. Mm-hmm. And, she gets angry. She gets very frustrated.
Right. She has
absolutely the same range.
And
she has a lot of dietary stuff where she's supposed to be gluten free because she has celiac disease and she loves bread.
Oh, yeah.
She loves bread.
It's a crazy thing, though, because it's so much effort put into trying to figure out how to get Lynn to not eat bread because it really fucks with her stomach, and she'll take back bottles. She'll find bottles and take them back so she has the money to go buy these panini buns at the mall. And
does she live with your parents?
No, she lives in her own apartment, but there's really good programs in Canada where she lives, and so there's a worker that comes in 3 or 4 times a week.
That's great.
My sisters still live there, and my mom still lives there. So
you're the one that got out.
I got out.
Is your father alive?
Yes, my parents are both still alive. My father was sent home to die when I was little from cancer, and we were all went and said goodbye to my father, and he's still living.
Wow.
Guess the joke's on us.
Yeah, did you ride candy to go say goodbye, or did you have to get on licorice, or...
I had to do licorice.
Oh, fuck, I'm sorry. Yeah. But once you do licorice...
What? Wait a minute.
You never... No! Anyway.
I like that you remember the names way more. I don't think Rich has ever asked me these questions.
Right, because he is an idiot, okay?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, so you grew up on the farm, and then you go to college. No?
Yeah, yes. I went to college a little bit. Yeah.
What'd you study?
I took radio and television arts at NAIT, Northern Alberta Institute of Technology.
Were you a good student in high school?
I always got by very easily, so if things got a little hard, I didn't do so well, but...
Right.
Yeah.
And how about your sisters?
They had a little bit of a harder time. I remember my sister Andrea being angry, because I was in an advanced math, so I took math with her, and then...
And she was like,
you never study, it's not fair.
So what do they do?
So my sister Andrea is, she's a principal at a...
Oh, wow! At a school?
At an inner city school in Edmonton.
Where?
In Edmonton, Alberta.
Yeah.
And my oldest sister, Audrey, runs a nonprofit that she started for fetal alcohol syndrome. And she's opened a, I don't know what you call it, like a clinic,
clinic
for women can come and live there if they're pregnant and have an alcohol
problem. Oh, my God. I love Andrea.
That's Audrey.
I mean, I know Audrey.
It's weird that my mom
why is that
so
Andrea
similar.
And Audrey?
I know.
And Lynn.
It's a
Bonnie. And Bonnie.
And then.
So, listen. Well, Bonnie. So, and are they married and have kids?
Yes. Lynn is not.
On, right. I know. But, she wants to go on Tinder.
Yeah.
Now, when you're, all right, so you then become a comic on a dare, like someone said, why don't you join this contest, and you win.
Yeah.
And had you ever done stand-up before that?
That's not really exactly true. I had done stand-up before a couple of times, or I can't remember,
but
less than six times.
Right.
What happened was that I was going to write novels and stuff, and
right.
then work in advertising.
Right.
And,
yeah,
like, this
course.
Whole plan. Yeah. And it wasn't paying the bills. Can
what?
You believe that?
You're lying. So, you are so full of shit.
I don't know. I did write, like, weird stuff. Like, I wrote, like, pamphlet safety. I got
right.
weird jobs. I wrote some menus one time.
That's great.
You know,
I love menus.
Like, weird.
Now,
I'm very good at describing.
So you go into comedy.
Food items.
Had you ever met a Jew around your farm?
Nobody that admitted to being one. So it's
really?
Possible. Our neighbor, when I got older, his last name was Myers, so he might have been Jewish.
Mike Myers isn't Jewish.
Oh.
Well. You know, a lot of them, you know, if they went back in their lineage, they would realize they're
right.
Jews, and then they all had to change the names, because I don't know if you realized, as my mother said, everyone hates us. So you get into the stand-up world.
Yes.
Where did you move first in the United States of America? Where'd you move
oh,
to?
Oh, I moved to New York first.
Right.
And sort of a little bit by accident, I just came and then never really kind of went back. And got a work visa.
Right.
Did it legally. You know, okay,
you
this is an interesting story.
Yeah.
I was doing stand-up. I was in Toronto, and I didn't have a TV for years. I don't know how I missed
right.
everything, because I didn't have a TV. And I saw Caroline's Comedy Hour, and
mm-hmm.
I was like, I gotta get on the show. I gotta
right.
figure out how to get on the show. So I called Caroline's in New York City,
mm-hmm.
and I asked to be put through to the person who books the TV show, and they didn't know what I was talking about. And I was like, who books the comedians? And they put me through to Joe
Falzarano.
And I said, I want to be on the TV show. And he was like, I don't know. He spent a long time on the phone with
right.
me, and he asked me what I looked like, stuff like that.
No
and
way.
Then, yeah. And then he said, Well,
we have to tell the kids, this is before the internet.
Yes, this is a long
time
ago.
And the phones and the texting.
This is mid-90s.
Right.
So he said, I have some workmen in my office. They're fixing the ceiling. If you can, I'll put you on speaker. If you can make them laugh, I'll give you the show.
No fucking way.
So I had my book out, and I was...
And what? Tell me a joke. I'll be a worker.
I don't remember at all
oh,
what I was
on.
Doing at that time. But
did they laugh?
Yes. And also, but I was doing a little bit of crowd work weird because I had been doing these horrible, horrible
right.
one-nighters.
Wait, so you auditioned for Caroline's Comedy Hour on the phone while someone was fixing Joe Falzarano's
yep.
Falzarano's.
And he gave me the show. He gave
what?
Me the show. So I
blew Joe Falzarano and didn't get the show.
Yes,
I'm kidding.
Okay.
I did get the show in 80. I was on the first show because someone missed their plane.
So they
and
called
they
you
called
at the last
me
minute?
At the last minute, and I killed. It was like
your story.
Amazing. That was my first.
I think I was on the last season, maybe the last.
Oh yeah, mine was like 89 or something.
Yeah, 1989 that show went for a while.
Yeah. Wow.
So I went and I got. Well, and then I couldn't get through the border. I kept getting turned around. I was trying to take a bus to go do the show,
right.
and I didn't pay for a return ticket. So they wouldn't let me through. They said, you're going to become a vagrant. And
they were right.
And,
so,
yeah.
all right, so you come
but
to
But I managed to get through eventually, and I bombed really,
no, you
really
didn't.
Bad on the show.
What did Joe
really
Falzarano say?
I cried after. I was in the bathroom crying, and they were like, we still need you for the opening segment. You know, they film at the end,
yeah.
like you standing there smiling.
Yeah, you're standing there like, oh my God, this is going to be fun.
And so the makeup lady was like, oh God. So
right.
she fixed me up, and then I went out there, and I couldn't hold a smile, and the cameraman was like, just hold it a little more, because I'd been crying. And
yeah.
I was like,
oh.
Oh
so wait
God.
A minute, did anyone try to comfort you?
No, but there was an ugly writer that came up to me after and was like, is there anybody you want to meet? And I was like, I guess I want to meet Janine Garofalo. So he took me over to meet Janine, and she was like this.
Sweet.
Hi.
Oh, my God.
But I was too nervous.
And you were by yourself?
Yes.
You didn't know anyone?
No. What happened was is that Jeff Sussman swooped in, and so he became my manager.
True. Now, what? Yes. Where... So you grew up around no black people and no Jews? No Latinos?
There was a black family where I grew up. Mm-hmm. He was the doctor. Mm-hmm. And my dad loves to tell this story that he was driving somebody, one of his relatives somewhere, and they passed by the doctor's house, and he was out mowing his lawn, and they said, well, that guy's really rich.
Oh, God. That's great. Your father must have been thrilled.
My father's probably telling that story right now.
Okay. So, you come to New York, and what did you know about the Jews? Like, did you know, like, did you watch TV and see Jews? Or, like, what was the...
Well, I read a lot when I was younger,
right.
And I said to my mom, what are Jews? Because I'd been reading stories, and sometimes they'd say, you know, you need to find yourself a nice Jewish man. And my mom looked at my dad and said, I think we should get her a Woody Allen movie.
Oh.
I thought she was going to introduce me.
Funny. That's great.
But
this is what a Jew is, honey. Watch carefully.
It's a small neurotic man.
So you go to New York, and Jeff, did you have sex with Jeff Sussman?
No.
Or was it
I did stay at his house.
Right, but no action.
But he was with his fiance.
Okay.
So I met her, and then I was like...
And then you dated Mark Cohen for quite a while.
Yeah. But you know what it is? I've always been just attracted to funny people, and...
And they all happen to be Jews.
They all happen to be Jews.
Now...
So that's why I'm just attracted... And they're Jewish men are verbal, which you don't find sometimes
and that whole,
in other groups.
You know what's amazing is that...
Cricket.
You know what...
Cricket.
I don't know. I hear some feedback. But you know what's amazing is that whole stereotype of the Jewish husband is like, he doesn't say anything. You're like, you know...
Oh, it is?
There's a joke. They're an old joke. What are you playing in? You know, the guy comes home and says to his mother, I got a part in the play. What are you playing? I'm playing the Jewish husband. Oh, you couldn't get a part with any lines?
Yeah, that's
an old joke. So,
The Jews that I know have always been very... And willing to, like... break down things psychologically.
So when
which
you
I love,
brought, I got, I have to understand. Okay. Did you bring any of your Jewish boys home to the farm?
Yes. Mark Cohen visited the family, and also Rich. They don't like Rich.
My what did they like? Rich. Did they like Mark?
Not particularly, but
was it a Jew thing or a New York thing?
No,
or
I think they think that they're making fun of them. That it's a like you know. You're always making jokes, and then they think it's at their expense, and they get upset about it.
Interesting.
Ew, who would make fun of your parents?
Well, Rich.
Rich comes over with his tattoos.
At our wedding.
Wait, I have to know, first time your parents met Rich, you're at the farm. How big is the farm? How many acres?
When Rich met, I don't know, probably only 25 acres at that point.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
And then he comes with his, you know, tattoos.
I mean, that's
he's like,
right.
Hey, how you doing? Like that. Okay? And what happened? What ensued?
Well, everything was fine. Okay, no, this is... I'll tell you exactly what happened. And one of the reasons why my oldest sister and I still don't speak. Okay.
You don't speak with Audrey.
Audrey.
Shit.
So Audrey,
do you speak with Andrea and Lynn, but
yes,
not Audrey?
Yes, very.
Okay.
Yeah, we still have a very good relationship.
Okay.
But Audrey is an interesting person. So she started this nonprofit. People who are in nonprofits, they still make a... She pays herself pretty fucking well.
Right, of course.
Do you know what I mean? So she has these benefits, and so she wanted Rich and I to come and do a benefit to raise money. So we agreed to come do that she was just going to pay our costs. And Rich said, here's the deal. You know, you can't do the auction before we go on. And dinner has to be finished before we go on. We need an MC and no breaks in between acts. So She was like, yeah, yeah, that's fine, that's fine. So when we get there, she wants to do the auction before we go on. It just becomes this thing. And she's never experienced someone like Rich before. Like, she's used to being...
The boss
and telling everyone she's, like, sort of the head of our family.
Now, has she ever done a comedy benefit before?
No, but that doesn't stop her. She doesn't care. She's...
Right.
So Rich is saying, we're not going to do it that way. And she goes, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Like, as though we're nervous. We're just nervous.
Like, right. That, like, yeah, like, you know, you're the court jesters. I know how to run it. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So Rich gets this guy who'd come over and said, I'm a big fan and I love comedy, to be the MC. And he just took over the thing. So I went on, and then I just introduced Rich right after so she couldn't take the break in the middle and stuff. And when he went on, he trashed her for, like, 15 minutes. And it was so funny. It was like, everyone there knows her, so they were laughing.
So they were laughing, right?
They know she's like that, and, you know, she did not...
think it was funny?
No.
So she takes herself very seriously.
She takes herself very seriously. Yeah. She wrote a thesis. She went back to school. My sister went and got her master's, so, of course, Audrey had to go get her master's, too. And Audrey wrote a thesis about herself, and she sent it to me to read, and she...
This is before the incident.
Yeah, this is before the incident. Wow. She referred to herself as McFarlane, like Obama.
No way!
Yes.
Oh, my God. She's annoying. She's a narcissist.
Yes. She referred to herself as a mama.
What is her husband like? Does he talk?
Whoa. No, he's very, you know, she makes lists for him.
Right. And
know.
What about the kids?
And the kids are... They'll never hear this podcast.
No.
Never. They're annoying.
The internet is forever.
They're awful.
It's hard at being the child of a narcissist. Wow. Where are you going, Lauren?
I'm just getting some water.
But, that's incredible. So, and how many years has it been since you spoke?
You know, she texted me about a month ago for the first time in a long time.
What'd she say?
So she just said, do you know this I'm at this function and there's this comedian there. Do you know him? And I said, I don't know who he is. And then that was it.
And she didn't say, talk to you soon.
Whoa.
So why do your parents hate? Like, what was that? Like, because they didn't start hating him until they met him, right?
Well, this happened. So I went home one Christmas without Rich. And this is maybe the next Christmas after the show that we had done. And I don't know why. We were just talking about stuff, and my dad was saying he didn't like all this cursing and stuff. And I was like, oh, Dad, like, when did you become a Pollyanna? You know,
Wait, were your parents at the show, too?
Yes.
When he was dissing?
Yes.
Okay, was Audrey there? I mean, Andrea?
Yes. Andrea loved
Lynn?
It. And Lynn thought it was funny.
All right,
you know,
great.
Of course.
Yeah.
So my father said, you know, I just don't like that kind of humor, like your husband. I don't like it. I don't think it's funny.
Oh,
I go, don't say that about him. I go, don't say that about him. He's my husband.
Right.
And my dad goes, what? I don't think he's funny. And then I got really mad and went downstairs, and he never apologized. You know, he said, that's not how I meant it, but how else are you going to...
Yeah, I don't think you're funny, or your husband's funny, is...
Well, because I said to him, I go, why would you say that? You just don't say... You can think it, but you don't say it to someone.
Right.
I go, what if I said something to Mom, like, I just don't think, you know, Dad's a good farmer. Why would
I don't think Dad chops those heads off very well.
I mean, like, I tried to think of an analogy.
Right.
But I didn't tell Rich at the time. I said, because I wanted to talk about it with somebody, but I didn't want to hurt Rich's feelings. So I said, my dad said, we aren't funny. But then I forgot, because I was retelling the story to someone else when Rich was there.
And you said he?
And I said, Rich.
And then
was like,
did he freak out?
I was like, wait,
what are you talking about? Are you kidding me? Are you serious?
What did he say? Me?
He said me?
Yeah.
Shit. Okay.
So now, you know, it's like, it's awkward.
Yeah, that's not fair.
You are classy. I find you to be classy.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And we did, you know, a lot of people don't know this. Bonnie and I, my mother was in a nursing home. And one day I'm at the Hanukkah party. And with my, you know, siblings and Elisa and my mother. And all of a sudden, I see Rich, Bonnie, and Raina, the daughter. And I'm like, across the room, I'm like, what are you doing here? It turns out Rich's mother was in the same nursing home. And he's like, I'll bring my mother over, meet your mother. And I have to tell you, I've never met anyone more negative. Yes. Like, she made my mother look like Polly, and like,
yes.
Like,
yes.
Like, if you see the fat, then you're going to, you know, like, if you say the fat, you're going to think. She, even my mother was like, hey, I mean...
We always like said like she's exactly like the mother on The Sopranos.
Right, that's what I said my mother was like too. Yeah,
when we went to visit her, Richmond always they always just started in on each other the minute they saw each other. And I said to Rich one time when we were going, this might have been before I was married to him. Mm-hmm. I was like, look, just I go, why instead of pushing her buttons when you go there, why don't you just say like, how are you doing? Like, just start like,
yeah,
nice
like
thing.
Hi, yeah.
Yes. So he goes, oh, fine. You know, he goes in and he goes, hey, how are you doing? She goes, how the fuck do you think I'm doing?
That's hilarious.
You
that.
Get, yeah, you
That's not our game. you pussy.
Now, how did you meet Rich?
So I met Rich at the Comedy Cellar. He was on Last Comic Standing. I thought he was a total jackass.
So you did it with him?
No, I just watched the show.
All right,
the first
but then
season.
you did it.
Then
the
he
second,
convinced me to do the second season.
Season. You were the first person eliminated. That's great.
From the, I made it to the house.
Oh, the house. Oh, you were the first
10.
Person.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that house?
I don't know.
What
but
was
I,
it?
They kept asking me in the interviews, like, oh, you know, what if you have to live in a house with 10 comedians? I was like, I like comedians. I think it's going to be fun. But then I didn't realize it was going to be like those comedians.
Right, right.
You know?
Okay, so you meet Rich at the Comedy Cellar.
Yes.
Who talks to who first?
I said, I just want to meet you because I know you're on the show. And he goes, oh, you're that comedian girl. And he goes, I'd hit on you right now, but I'm on a date. And then...
Oh, God. Yeah. And then you end up marrying him? I hit on you, but I'm on a date.
I know, I...
So that's his opening line?
Yes.
Oh, my God. And did you get all, like, wet and excited?
No, was like... he was exactly the same person that I was watching on TV that I didn't like. I was like, oof.
Right.
But that's Rich's MO with everyone. No one likes him in the beginning. And then somehow...
I always like...
That attitude works on you.
Right. Well, I'm from New Jersey, so I get him. Okay,
well,
go.
Then he sort of tracked me down a couple nights later, and we hung out. And
what do you mean he tracked you down?
He tried to get Esty to give my phone number, and Esty called me, and I was like, do not give him my phone number.
Esty is just for everyone. Esty, you know, she books the Comedy Cellar and is like the godfather. She sits in the corner, and everyone sits at the comedy table.
Rich Voss asked for your phone number.
She's not Asian.
I don't know. I can't.
She's
do
Israel.
Bunny. It's SD. Listen, Rich Voss asked for your phone number. I do not.
That is
to.
Not it. That's
oh
not
shut. It's better than hello. 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 Is this?
I think it's more like Rich Voss wants your number.
No, that is not SD. Bonnie's was like, hello, your Rich Voss want your number. That is not. I was better.
Hello. Hello. Is
Rich Voss want your number.
Rich Voss wants your number.
212, man.
All right, whatever. So you so said no. Okay,
I
then.
Said no.
Then.
Then he came to the cellar when I was only there for a week. I was living in Los Angeles, and he came a couple nights later. And
why'd you go to Los Angeles? Did Jeff
about a year after I got was in New York after the Caroline's show, I got a deal and I moved to LA.
What was the deal?
It was I got $175,000 from CBS.
A holding deal.
A holding deal, yeah.
That's what they all used to get.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone. I am the only fucking person who never got a holding deal. And the holding deal means you can only do a show for that network. They can create a show for you.
It's like 15 months they held.
Yeah, so you can't go on auditions for other networks or anything.
Always in second position.
Right, in second position. The other thing was, I never got one. I mean, people, and I had been doing stand-up in forever by that time.
Well, by the time you're ready to get one, they won't do it anymore.
No, they won't do it anymore. Okay, so, all right, the holding deal turns to nothing.
So I just would come back to New York. Jim Gaffigan and I would flip apartments sometimes. So I'd come stay at his place in New York, and he'd stay at my place in L.A. He'd go there for pilot season, and I'd come to do stand-up, whatever. And so, anyway, I met Rich, and...
okay, so when did your feelings change? I need to know the minute your feelings changed.
Well, we had a sexual relationship for a while without ever...
Wait, what?
Having...
When did you start the sexual relationship?
Well, he went down on me in the car that night.
Which night?
The first night that he... that we hung out.
Wait.
That we had pizza.
I'm not going. Yes. You didn't go. You didn't tell me. First it was like, I'm on a date, but I would fuck you. Then he calls Essie, and then she says no.
Right.
And you say no. And then what's the next turning point?
So the next turning point is I was at the cellar, and he somehow convinced me to leave with him to go get pizza.
Okay.
And then he was going to give me a ride to wherever I was staying, and outside my place, he
went down on me in the car.
It's fine, it's good.
Does Raina know this, your daughter?
Oh, we tell her every night.
And how about your parents? Do you want me to call Audrey?
Audrey,
tell her?
Let Audrey know.
So he went down on you in the car,
and then he had to drive
and you
to
didn't
the
have
airport.
To do anything to him.
No.
Oh, that's good.
No, so what he was just letting me know that.
Wait, he the first night. No, just that's great.
So then,
was he good?
Yeah, you know, he's got a lot of juice in his mouth, and sometimes that works.
Right,
for
right,
him.
Right, right.
It
the saliva,
made it a nice
juice.
The
mouth.
Saliva.
Now I don't like it, but at the time it was good.
Okay, so then, and you were just in love.
No, that I had a boyfriend, not a boyfriend,
who
but I had another sexual thing going on.
Did
in
you
Los
tell
Angeles.
The other one that
I was discreet? With
so you were like cheating on?
Well, because we never made it clear that we were exclusive. Or
do
anything.
You think either of them were seeing other women?
I don't know, and I didn't ask.
Okay.
I didn't bring it up.
Now at this,
I didn't want to have.
So you're done with Mark Cohen? Are you done with Mark Cohen?
Yeah, this is Mark Cohen's way in the past.
Okay.
And
okay, and then what was it that you were like?
Well, this is what
I
happened.
Have to marry this man.
So. Well, two things. Once we went on a date, I was in New York, and he took me out for sushi. And during sushi...
He likes fish.
Yeah. During sushi, clearly, we've established
what?
That.
Yeah.
During sushi, he said to me, I'm a genius, and I can't believe people don't get to see me. You know, the industry will never see my genius because, you know, when I'm on the road and...
Okay.
The way you're talking about it, I never heard anyone in all earnestness call themselves a genius
okay.
before.
So I'm going to do Rich. We're going to redo the scene, and you're going to be you mm-hmm. at that night. Okay, mm-hmm. ready?
Action.
The thing is, Bonnie.
Yeah.
I'm a genius.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm a genius. I am one of a kind, but I go on the road.
Yeah.
And the industry looks at me like I'm a road comic.
Yeah, they don't see your genius.
They don't see the originality.
Can you do it in the clubs in New York, the genius stuff?
Yeah, that's what I do. I mean, I do it. And I do the job on the road. I've got to make a living, you know? But
you got to have more passion, honestly. You got to be more like...
Seriously, I got to tell you.
I fucking kill every night.
I fought every night. I am consistent every single night I get on the stage. I never fail. No one wants to follow me.
Yes.
Have you met a comic that doesn't want to follow me?
Yes,
have you? It's unbelievable. And I don't understand the industry that they put these assholes on that have no talent.
This is Judy now.
No, it isn't.
I'm not like that.
Okay, so you fucked up the scene. Okay, so then that goes on. And
so maybe it's because I'm Canadian. I was like, I couldn't believe someone was talking about themselves like
right.
that. And there was something so great about
right,
it.
Right,
I just,
right.
And I still
so
kind
then,
of like
because
a bragger.
He was saying that, you were like, maybe he is a genius. Did you think?
No, it wasn't.
Right.
Well, I kept thinking, like, is he being serious? Like, if he's fucking with me, it's hilarious. But if he's being serious, it's
he
even
is an
more
amazing,
amazing
joke writer. I mean, the guy's
right,
an amazing
right.
joke writer.
He's just so bitter.
Right. If he could get rid of that bitterness... I'm telling you.
Right. Yeah, it's just like...
He's so angry at everyone.
But what? But why? He's very successful. Listen, wherever we go, people... We were getting out of the car yesterday to go to Sirius, and some woman, you know, she was like a very pretty black woman. Shouldn't mm-hmm. be his target audience
right.
at all. And was like, I love you. You're a great comedian. And I was like, ugh.
Right.
You know, he gets stopped all the time.
But that's not enough.
Yeah, no,
he's
I mean,
always comparing himself.
He makes he put two girls through college.
Right.
You know, he owns a house. It's
right.
Like by all standards, he's successful, and it's just not enough. Because he looks around and he sees, you know, Jim Gaffigan's picture going by in a cab and
right.
Amy Schumer's poster up, and it eats at him somehow, I guess.
I mean, I I guess. I mean, I look at it and I'm like, oh, I don't even, I can't even, like, to me, all those people that I grew up with in comedy, like Ray Romano mm-hmm. and Kevin James and, you know, Jim used to open for me, Jim Gaffigan. I just still think of them as
that person.
And, like, you know, timing and talent and luck and, you know, great.
Yeah.
But you can't walk around all bitter.
You can't walk around, like, this is the way I think, like, sometimes I think of it. It's like, I don't get jealous of a doctor because I never went to med school.
Right.
And there's people that have done things that I've never, I couldn't be Miss Social Media. I'm not
right.
that person. So if they're getting successful because of that, I can't be jealous of that
because right.
I didn't do it.
Right.
I have a phone. I couldn't.
I know. It's just, that's so fucking annoying. I can't yeah. even deal with that. So, all right. So you marry, where was the wedding? And did your family come?
So my wedding was in Edmonton, mm-hmm. Alberta. It was actually a little outside Edmonton called Leduc, mm-hmm. Alberta. And my aunt has this hotel. So she was like, you can get married in my hotel. I'm going to give you this great rate. Da, da, da. And it wasn't a great rate, and it was a hunting lodge.
Oh, fun!
So during our wedding party, people were dragging deer and moose.
Oh, that's
through
great.
The hotel. And I wish that because I was slightly angry about it. I was like, ugh, this is awful. But now I think back, I'm like, why didn't I take pictures of my
right?
Dad?
That's a great
thing. Like,
you gotta
why
talk
didn't I
about
own
that?
That.
Wait, so. Did Rich's family come?
Yes. Well, his mother didn't. We didn't even right. tell his mother because we didn't want her to get upset. That she was just
right.
It would be hard for her to go. So,
right.
But his father and his father's wife came, and his
and did
Rich's
the families
sister,
get along?
His Rich's brother did not come.
Did they mingle?
Yeah, I mean
Jews and dead animals going. That
it was a little
not good.
Awkward,
right?
It was like farmers. And
did they wear yarmulkes?
Like
or
we
anything?
Put like a little like thing of preserves on each table
right.
that my mom had made.
That's
you
cute.
Know, as the instead of like right. the piece of cake, like the little
right.
giveaway. And Rich's sister was like, "Are you sure that we're, nobody's going to get sick from this?"
Oh my like, god. Oh my god. All right. So
my mom was like a little upset.
Did you have a chuppah or anything Jewish at the wedding?
No, I wanted to, but the woman who married us wouldn't. She said, if you don't know exactly why you want it, then you shouldn't
have
it.
She hates Jews.
And I was like, well, I don't, I just, you know, Rich
didn't
know anything.
It symbolizes a home. Why the fuck didn't you call me?
I should have called you.
She's an asshole.
Yeah.
So how long have you been married?
So almost 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
And
there. It's, you know, it's a difficult process.
Do you have a lot of sex?
We have to have sex at least once a week, or Rich, it's not that he wants it. He just thinks we're going to get a divorce if we're not.
So, and he,
like he read it somewhere or something.
That's
but sometimes
right.
it's more.
But is it fun or is it just like, God, I have to, oh, is
a
it?
A lot of times I'm
obligatory.
Like, oh, I do obligatory sex. But then there are times where it's actually,
right.
the last time we had sex was actually really, I don't know why. It was fun.
Now, Rich has a photo of his penis on his phone that he shows pretty much everyone. But
yeah.
what he'll do is he'll be like, let me show you this picture.
Yeah, because
and
he got
then
professional
that penis,
lighting.
Right. And the penis
the
will go by. Like, oh, sorry. That's what he does.
He's got a long zoom lens.
Yeah.
And
what is that with him and his cock?
He's very... I don't
has
know.
He showed
he's
Raina
a dude.
The picture
no.
of his wiener?
No, he's
okay.
not. But he does show people, just even in the audience, he'll just show
he
a
will
random
not.
Person. That's my cock. Yeah, he's
and
very...
And does that bother
he's
you?
He's very proud Rain's of that picture.
Just,
if he's insecure, Rich is like, you gotta think. Like,
I know. But if you took a picture of your boobs... And wouldn't he get so
pissed off?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? You know, the movie that you were in
yes,
that we did.
That, yeah. Wait. Now, I was... You filmed me for a while, and I'm in for what? A half a millisecond?
I feel like you're in... You're a big part of
really?
The movie.
Really?
You're a presence
that.
In that movie.
For
I
sure.
Love you, Bonnie.
It was real pivotal. I mean, every the timing of everyone in that film.
It was,
yeah.
I,
it was a great
I will
film.
Say this, that I felt like you gave the button on a lot of things.
Right.
Definitely. Wrapped up.
Yeah. Funny.
I'm going to watch that again.
I love you, and I've always loved you.
Oh, Bonnie,
you know
that's
that.
So sweet.
It's true.
I always think that I don't know. I don't know.
I remember
I have found
meeting
out
you for the
now.
Very first time.
Yeah. Well, I found out now that the girls, the com and guy comics that are in their 30s and 40s, you know, because I'm in my late 30s. Anyway, or 20s, 30s. They
17,
all know me
if
from
you guys wanna know.
Comedy Central and stuff, and they mm-hmm. all like me. Like, yeah. I never knew that. So, wait, when did we meet first?
Well, I just come from Canada, mm-hmm. and I'm at the Boston nice. Comedy Cellar, right. or Boston Comedy
Club,
whatever club it's called, and I was so blown away. I'd never seen a woman do that before. I'd never Ooh. Seen a woman kill like that or have that kind of presence on mm-hmm. stage, or it was like mind-blowing.
Really?
It,
oh,
really
my God,
was.
I love you.
It was amazing. And then I was like, I thought you were really funny. And you're like, mm-hmm.
No, I wasn't.
No, that's how she was.
No, I wasn't.
That's how she was to me the first
time. But I have
time,
to
I
tell know. You, it's I'm so in the zone,
I'm
and
so
it's
glad
like
you're
a,
here.
And I don't believe, you know, like,
I think you didn't think you did well.
Right.
That's what I think, and I couldn't believe that, because in my mind it was like, but then I've seen you, like, that's the way you have sets. You kill. You just, you know, that's...
Sometimes so, I don't. I mean, I went on...
I've never seen you not kill. And, in fact, you did one of the hardest things I ever saw was at the What's-Her-Face's 80th birthday. The feminist, you know, what's her name?
Oh, Gloria Steinem.
Gloria Steinem's birthday. You had to do the auction, and you were
yeah.
so funny. And I was thinking, that's... I would have never been able to do that. I mean,
because you know what? I've been doing it for so long. I worked in, like... When I started in the 80s, I went anywhere. And I didn't care. I was in, like, some mob boss's, like, bar in the back. You know, I would go anywhere just to do... I only wanted... And I wanted to be great at it. And so I think...
Well, that's... That, I think that is a difference between... You know, I see people coming up now that's not their goal. Do you know what I mean? They're... You
well,
know,
they use it as to
get more Twitter followers,
right? Or to
be on TV,
but as a vehicle to get something
yes.
else. I wanted to be a great.
Right.
I mean, still want to be. A
but
great
you're a student of stand up, also.
Yes.
You know, you probably watched a lot of stand up,
right?
It's
but
like the actors that go back to theater.
But I did stand up more than I watched stand. I mean, I
right.
watched all these people
right.
in the
right.
clubs, but. I mean, if I go back to my calendars from those days, it was every night.
Yeah.
I used to
like how
write
many New
at
York
the end
sets?
Of the month how many sets I did for that month.
Can you remember, like, an average?
I have to go look in. It's in my storage unit. Oh, my God. It was, what are there, 365 days in the year? I mean,
but how many in like on a weekend would you do? Were you doing, like, a
five-ish? Five, six,
yeah.
Yeah,
because there was a time when you could just stay...
Well, that's how you
lower.
Stayed in the city.
Yeah.
You had to do, like... Well, Friday only had two shows and Saturday had three. So you would do, like, you know, four on Friday and six or seven on Saturday. And you'd go from one place to the other, you know, and just, you know, try hopefully
Work
get
up.
There.
Well, because also the thing about doing that many sets is that none of them are precious. So you don't have to get like all like in
it's,
LA,
you
do
what,
one set a night, and you want it to go well, and it's
no.
Like, oh.
I went to LA, and I got to work all the clubs, so I would do more than one set. And then Mitzi gave me the belly room every Friday night.
Wow!
And that's how I prepared for my HBO special. And but I even when I was we've talked about this before.
Okay, were
I,
you nervous doing that HBO special?
You know what it was?
People didn't have them yet, right? I mean,
no, they like, start. It was the half hour comedy. I did
right,
Jimmy Garoppolo, right. David Cross. You know,
oh.
I remember thinking, and this is how nerdy I am. Like everyone else who was doing them was like, "Yeah, I'm doing a special on HBO." You know, they were cool.
What year was that?
90,
I'm trying to remember if I was like in LA.
94
when that happened, 95. I kind of remember. Oh, so that was right. Yeah, when I got to New York.
Yeah, it's about 95. I think.
So I remember people talking about that.
So I and we did it in San Francisco, and I remember. And Marc Maron, I think, was one of them. But I remember they were all really cool dudes about it because they were in the alternative, you know.
Right.
And
right.
I remember Janine even had like notes. She didn't care. She gave like the swag. She's like, "Oh yeah, you can have this." I was like,
yeah.
"Really?" Like I was such a nerd. Like I'm getting swag. I still have the watch.
Yeah.
You know. And you know, I was so grateful. You know, because all I ever wanted was an HBO special. And
right.
and in my mind, it was like, "Oh my God,
amazing.
HBO."
trust me to be on their network for half an hour. Like, to me, it was like, I got to make this the greatest thing.
Yeah.
That they're trusting me. Like, that's how I feel about my work. Like, okay. I always prepare, you know. And I remember, and I won the Cable Ace Award that year. I beat
it
George
Carlin.
It
was great special.
Thank you.
It was so brilliant.
And I was still like, really? Is it? It was that. I still was like, no, it's not that great. You know, okay, but, it was... It's not until now when I go on stage and I realize, you know, that I truly am a like, when my mother died, I went on stage 2.5 weeks later and talked about the funeral. Like, I had to do it. You know, I'm... And the comics came downstairs from the cellar.
Things.
Right. And they were like, I gotta see this. And, you know, it's amazing. Because someone asked me recently, you know, how do you see yourself as a comic? And I said, well, you know, comics grow as they have more... I have more life experience and less fear. I mean, at that time in my career, don't do this, don't do that. You know, HBO, you gotta be on a network.
Right.
And I remember I was on... We've talked about this Margaret Cho show, you know, All American Girl, and I would go out every night and do a set, and Margaret and everyone called me the Leopard because I used to do spots all the time.
Oh, that's funny.
And they were like, "Why are you doing spots? You're on a sitcom." It's like I couldn't wait,
right?
You know, it's like in my blood, soul. Like I love it, and I love your stand-up because it's
so smart.
It's smart, and it's fucking funny, and it's edgy. Now, when I was in Montreal last year with you guys, you had Bill Burr.
Oh. Yes.
On the podcast.
Yes.
Right? And he... There was a palpable tension between the two of you. And he said... You had said something to him regarding... I don't...
Well...
And he said... Hey, you gonna use the clam cod?
Yes.
And I wanted... You don't know... How much I wanted... How fucking dare... You're married to a woman?
Yeah.
You're married to a fucking woman. Does he have kids?
I don't think so.
When men who are married to women who have mothers who came out of a fucking woman...
Right.
And have daughters... Well, I don't fucking get it.
I don't get, like... Okay, I saw him one time... you know, he's being interviewed for something, and they said, you know, something about, like, this whole thing about women being funny or, you know.
I'm so sick of that.
I know. Do you think it's, like, harder for women or whatever? He goes, just get up there and be funny. That's all you need to do. You need to, you know, not think about anything else. Just go up there and be funny. And it's like, that's like a white guy's stance on everything.
Right.
It's like, they don't understand baggage comes with other people.
Right.
Like, you just get to go up and be funny. But they're, like, I feel like stand-up is such a nuanced, hard thing that even if you're just held back slightly, it can make an entire difference to
your
whole
set. One thing that someone says to you.
Yeah.
One thing that someone says before you get on stage.
Right.
The judgment that the audience already has on you.
Well, I think the audience especially, like, wants you to succeed. They want to go there to laugh.
I know,
except for the fuckheads who don't, you know?
Right. Well, it's not that they don't want you to succeed. I feel like, though, that they're like, they've already given... even though they know who Bill Burr is, but even, like, a white guy, they've given him the check mark already.
Right.
They're like, okay, great. Da ha 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 ha. They just assume what he's getting to is funny. And I still think, even though people are really supportive of women, there's still just a tiny little bit of hang back. Like, is it going to be funny?
Oh, definitely.
You know, I'm writing an article now about
what's being talked
Jerry
about.
Seinfeld saying that the millennials are too PC and he won't do colleges.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, I'm really doing a lot of work and research on this, and I actually love millennials because I feel like they can detect bullshit immediately because they have so much information,
right?
And they don't want to talk about mundane, on the surface things. And I feel like, look, in the mid-late 90s, I started talking about being a lesbian mother before it was fashionable.
Yeah.
But I wasn't even talking about being a lesbian. I was talking about being a lesbian mother.
Right.
You know, and I got a lot of, oh, that's not PC. But now the millennial, like, he's
but now
saying,
it's like, yes,
he's saying that my stuff isn't, I've never thought of him as a politically incorrect person, but he's saying a lot of his.
You're talking about Bill.
No, I'm talking about Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, Jerry, yeah.
I think of his, he's a master joke writer and he's a master of his craft, but
I don't think of him as politically incorrect.
Right.
And he's saying these people are PC. And I'm thinking, look, I was talking about this alternative, quote-unquote, lifestyle, family, when no one talked about their... And I couldn't not do it. I had kids, and that was my material.
Right.
And I dealt with the, I'm going to get up and leave, and you're, I dealt with that.
Yes.
I didn't... No one's gotten up and said, you know, Jerry, that really pissed me off, you know? And so now I feel like the millennials...
They've turned the tables on the white guys, and now they're pissed off because they don't feel like they should ever have to be have any kind of
like they are on top all the time. Like,
yes,
I feel like it goes in ebbs and flows this career,
yes,
and that they feel like they should always be at the top.
Yes,
you know,
agreed.
It's like the fucking Republicans,
right?
You know, Donald Trump.
Like, the minute they feel any kind of prejudice towards them, it's suddenly like this huge thing.
Yeah, it's like
hello. Against other people. But I used to hate in the clubs. I mean, the one thing I feel like with the politically correct thing is I used to hate when comedians could go in and just be like, "You're gay," and everyone would laugh, and it was like so ugly. Do you know what I mean? Like, just like the gay jokes were still just so
but
rampant.
They're so stupid. And I remember
it's like good. I'm glad they can't do it anymore.
I remember I was at the comic strip, and there was a woman who was very masculine looking, and I said something to her like, "What are you gay or what?" You know, and she said, "Well, yeah, well, I'm a tranny." And I said, "Oh, well, which way are you going?" And she, because I didn't know.
Right.
And she was like, "That was the greatest thing ever." You know,
because
I was like, "Oh, which way?" Like, are you going? Are you a woman? You know, becoming a woman or becoming. And she, that was it. She, like, loved me forever.
Yeah.
But the, I can't take that stupid bullshit crap. Now, we've gone long, but wait, I have a lot of other things I have to discuss. Don't get mad at me. We'll end in a few minutes. But Rich Voss, your husband, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about him, is very cheap. He is frugal.
He's not. He is in a certain way. Like, I've never had my own soda when we've been out to get food. Mm-hmm. But
go on, Bonnie.
We must share soda. Yes. But on the other hand, like, if we're out for dinner or something, he will readily pick up the check with, like, a group of people.
Right.
He's not cheap in that way. Do you know what I mean?
Or he picks and chooses.
He does. Like,
I know, but Easy Pass.
Why can't he give me Easy Pass?
Why can't you fucking? Easy Pass, like, does he value your time? Like, I have an Easy Pass. Why can't you get your own fucking Easy Pass?
I could get my own. I filled out the whole thing once, and then I didn't. I know the my license plate number, so I didn't feel like going out to the car to look at it. And that's really why I don't.
Okay,
we're both just lazy.
Okay,
what it comes down.
And you'll sit in the fucking lane.
Well, every time we go through, we go, "Let's get the Easy Pass."
The fact that you don't have an Easy Pass, that is a kill me now thing. Like, aren't you sitting in the car saying "kill me now" while all these cars are going through fast?
No, you know what? The truth is that Easy Pass isn't—they're not going through that much faster.
Yes, they are.
I swear to God.
I swear to God. Go to the GW Bridge or the Lincoln Tunnel.
We don't use those.
How the fuck are you from New Jersey? Okay, go to the Holland Tunnel. Oh, yeah, the Holland Tunnel. It's always about that.
Yeah.
But come on. That's fucking... Even when you go to, like, Boston or something...
Well, I wish, because it would just be, like, less anxiety when
and
I'm driving somewhere and I don't know where the...
You can write it off.
Oh, well, now we'll get one. Now that you've
Did you know that? You write it off and your tolls are, like,
but
a
now Rich
cheaper.
Will get one.
All right.
Tell him you can write it off.
It's funny that his name is Rich.
I know.
Richard. All right,
rich.
I had this question. I wrote all these questions down. What? Now, you are not sober, but
no,
you live
not,
with someone
I'm a little
who's
bit
sober.
Drunk right now.
Nice.
Thank no, God. I'm not. I'm not sober.
And what is it like to be with someone who's so very... why can't I speak today?
Well, he's been sober for, I
sober.
Think...
You're excited.
I remember
almost
when
30
he,
years.
I remember when he wasn't. I started, but I remember...
Yeah, 2 years he did stand up or something.
Yeah, he was like... Rrr! Yeah.
Oh, God. I can't
okay,
remember.
So then...
So there's no alcohol at our house ever or anything like that. So there's no... So I do... Sometimes I, like...
Do you sneak it?
No, but I will go over to the neighbors and have a glass of wine or something.
Right.
But when we go home to Canada,
you'd have to, like,
there's alcohol all the time. Everybody's right. drinking constantly, and right. He can't take. I mean, it's,
but after all those years, he can't take.
It's not that he just thinks they're all alcoholics,
right? Right.
But that's the way people are. Mm. Like, a lot of people right. just drink a lot. That's just how it is. You go to
right, but they're not addicted.
No.
Now,
and this is he's going at Christmas time, right. so it's right. like.
Do you have to brush your teeth if you've had a drink, and then you're going to make out with him?
We have not made out since our second year of marriage. So, no.
Are you kidding?
We don't make out.
What?
No, we
don't. That's the best part. I make out with Elisa all the time.
I try to get him to make out with me sometimes, and then he starts giggling. He can't handle the intimacy.
Oh, this is hurting me.
See, making out is really intimate.
Yeah.
Does yeah. he do the rip your... He doesn't make out with you and then rip your clothes off?
No, I mean, I would enjoy that. It's not it's
oh,
not
my
like
God.
That.
That's the best! Oh, God, Bonnie, I might
sometimes
have...
he's like, he gets into bed and he goes, you don't have your underwear off yet?
What? I am so... I'm going to talk to him how to treat a woman. That sucks.
Thank you. Sometimes I go, you have no game. Like, how did you just, get
and
this
he's not a big toucher. He's not touchy-feely.
No, he doesn't... I don't think he know. I don't think he has all the muscles that everyone else has in their hands.
Well, he's got. I mean, he works out all the time. He's got like those big fucking, and he apparently has a penis muscle that he shows everyone. Okay, so what pisses you? Well, first of all, we'll do the piss you off first. What pisses you off the most? Like, what is one thing that fucking drives you up a wall?
So many things, really, but this today drove me up the fucking wall. So I was, I came back from the gym and I was watching TV, and I can't, who's that black woman that has that show in the, like around 10 o'clock comes
Oprah.
On?
Oprah. Tamron Hall?
No, yeah. She's funny, kind of, and she just sits there and she does.
Oh, gossip. Wendy Williams.
Wendy Williams.
I love Wendy Williams.
Okay.
Did I not just
but
say that?
She, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear
it's okay.
You
I didn't hear it.
So she put up a picture right. and she's like, who's offended by this? She goes, because I'm offended by this. And it was Madonna took a picture of her kids rubbing her feet. Well, her kids happen to be uh-huh. black.
Right.
So people were like, this is
oh, right.
outrageous. And I kept being so angry about it because... They're her kids.
Right.
Like, that's yeah. what kids do, you
right.
know? I'm sure you had your kids rub your feet. I've had my kid rub my feet.
Right.
Like, I would take a picture of my kids doing any chore and post that shit online.
I've never had a picture of that because my kids don't do a fucking thing. As you can attest to by looking at Henry's room. Ben actually does some shit. Okay, so I can see that.
But I just feel like it's like this weird thing where they just like things get out of control and they just take, the media grabs on to the wrong things.
But like Wanda has a whole bit about, you know, Wanda Sykes,
yes,
who I love. I love Wanda. Now she has a whole bit about, you know, because her wife is French and white and her kids are really white and blonde. And, you know, she talks about, like, when she's making them dinner and then she's serving it and she's like, wait, you know, and it's fucking
hilarious.
Wanda, I didn't tell the joke, but I want you to...
I get it.
You know,
I'm sure it's,
and it comes yeah. from, wait, what's going on here?
That's so
is,
funny.
We don't, you know, people are so knee-jerk
yes.
ready to, but, you know, Madonna... has done some weird things recently, like making out with, was it, who'd she make out with, Drake or...
Oh, yeah, he didn't want to be made
yeah.
out with.
Who wants
it? Oh, Madonna.
He was like,
yeah. You don't have to try Madonna.
Yeah.
You're Madonna. You don't have to.
Well, that's another one of my pet peeves is that women of a certain age should stop trying to pretend they still have...
Oh, she could own her age right now.
That's what pisses me off.
Just be a person.
Right. That's what pisses me off about Caitlyn Jenner a lot.
Yes.
Is that, okay, so you're the hottest, sexiest guy. And then when you become a woman, all of a sudden you're fucking on the cover of, you know, Vanity Fair and you're hot, sexy. Like, you grew up, you have...
She is a Kardashian.
She...
Yes, see, I think that's
she did, but she...
She had to grow up.
Before she was a Kardashian, she was an entitled white male.
Yes.
And that's how she has, that has sort of, you know.
That's the, yes.
That's her when she was growing up. Okay.
I think she overcompensated a lot for.
Okay, that's great.
Why does
and
she has why
some
does she
fucking
have to
gold
go,
medals for that.
Like, why does
yeah,
she
have to why can't she
it?
Just, but like.
Why can't she just be the woman that she wants to be without
and
it
she's
being
a Republican.
Like in a.
Because she's in the public eye, she's in the media.
But she didn't have to, you know, she got $500 million get that fucking surgery.
She does look so beautiful, though, and unfortunately,
because
we're such
she has
a visual country that, well, yeah, I mean...
But how many transgender people don't have the money? Take that $500 million and give it to transgender kids. Yes. Or something to help the community.
These people
are on the fucking street. They're homeless. It pisses me off. How much more fucking money do you need?
It pisses me off, too. Okay. But unfortunately, people need a sexy visual representation in the mainstream media of what a woman could be, a trans woman.
Well, they have
me. In order to make it, you know, to make that connection in their head.
They have me.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I mean, I can play transgender.
But how, my daughter said this to me when she was little, like 3 years old. She goes, how come there's so many old men on TV and no old women?
Right! And it's I love her.
I didn't even realize, but the truth is that... You know, when a woman get to a certain age, they have to, like, do hair extensions and lips and eyes and stuff.
No, but Maggie Gyllenhaal's too old to play a 50-year-old girl? What the fuck? When are people going to say, you know what? I'm not doing your fucking movie.
Yeah, I think it's starting to happen.
No, it's not. They all want the money. Oh, I'll take the part. It's good.
They'll twist it into something feminist.
You're right.
Somehow.
You're right.
They're like, they eat like a bird and they're tiny and they're like playing the whole game and then they'll be like, but I'm all for women's
rights. Right.
No, can I say, that's what pissed me off about Bridesmaids also. It's like the girl still winds up with the guy at the end and you're trying to be this like feminist farty joke, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The fact that a fucking Republican candidate for president is telling me I need a vaginal ultrasound. Fuck you. Get out of my fucking body.
Yes.
Rick fucking Sanchez. Get the fuck away.
Well,
that pisses me off.
The worst.
Yeah. But then he is fine. People.
But I know. And women.
What? Women.
Women fucking.
Women. I don't get how are women.
I don't get it.
They are still brainwashed.
No one wants to have an abortion. No one wants it.
Well, look.
No.
Here's the thing.
Of course,
no one wants to have an abortion. But if they're...
I did it.
You want... No, you didn't see...
No, I went out, I got pregnant.
You didn't say, I'm going to get pregnant so I can have an abortion. No one does that.
Right. No. But here's the thing. Even if you think that it's wrong or it's, you know, against God or whatever, I still think it's the right move in a lot of cases. Like, I still think you have to pick the lesser of two evils. It's like you don't want unwanted kids out there.
If it's wrong, you know, because you think that God, because of God reasons, then you
shouldn't have one. Absolutely.
Don't have
100%.
It. Yeah. You know?
But that's the thing that's so crazy about this country is that everyone, it's just this, like the whole gay marriage thing was such a drain because it's like, what do you care?
Don't make your decisions based on the Bible. You're elected into office.
Why does Christianity have such a big part in everything?
Right. We're supposed to be separation of church and state.
Because we've stopped asking questions. And I think even if you...
Well, I'm asking a fucking question.
I think
if you go to a church that doesn't believe in gay marriage, then that's great. Then you don't have to...
Where do gay people go when marriage equality passes in their state? They go to town hall and get their fucking...
That's what they do.
They there should be civil marriage... Yes. And if you want to have a religious marriage, have it.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
It.
I 100%.
You know, that's it.
Fixed.
It's about...
But
it's about
protections
and you know, these... Why?
Well, this is what I was going to say about before when I was angry about my neighbor said that they went to... they took their two girls, they're 10 years old, to the... Taylor Swift concert. She goes, and there was these gay guys in front of us, and our kids are asking, what are they acting like that for? I don't know what to tell them. I was like, you tell them they're gay. Like, who cares?
Tell them they're having a good time.
Yes.
They have no inhibitions.
Right.
I had the same conversation with someone on the street. He was bitching about, you know, gay marriage passing. He's like, what am I supposed to, you know, what are people supposed to, what are we supposed to tell their kids, you know, when they see him kissing on the street? And I was like, what do you care? And he goes, well, it's disgusting. And I was like, well, no one's making you kiss.
No, it's disgusting watching your fucking ignorant fat ass.
And he's like, oh, kiss someone.
Why do guys get to walk down the street without a shirt?
Yeah.
some of them have bigger tits than I do.
Thank you.
And they're hairy and their fat stomach and then a woman's body.
So well, that's that. What that's exactly why they get to, because that's not something that's it all comes down to sexuality. And the reason that men are angry about transgender is because a lot of guys get turned on by anything. Literally, like if I were to like draw like a W and put two dots in it, they'd be like, oh my god, like boobs, it turns them on. So they can't have things that turn them on. It's like a hair trigger. They
feel like they also have to be the only ones too. So when it's trans on the other way around, it's like, you don't get to be masculine, you don't get to have this is my thing, like you're a girl.
It's so fucked up,
you know,
you're supposed to be turning them on. Chaz, that's your job,
right? Exactly. Which is why Chaz got so fucking swept under the rug, and Caitlin, you know, is on the cover.
Yeah, Chaz is a straight guy.
And Laverne Cox is a star on, you know, whatever the fuck, and Candace Kane and all these guys.
Why? Because they're...
You can't say because guys.
They're playing the game.
I mean, guys as in general.
Because they're beautiful women.
Male-born women.
Oh, they still have the...
They were born with it. Either way, doesn't matter whether they still have it or not.
No, I don't mean that. I mean they still have the privilege.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
They get to make that decision.
That's what I was saying about Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah. Whereas men who are born with titties and a vagina, are called, you know,
I mean, I
ridiculous.
Got in a fight with this, you know, Facebook, this guy I grew up with, says to me, you know, it's like when the gay marriage passed, you know, all these like white Republican are like, yeah, well, it should have been passed. Can we just get the rainbow flag back? And, you know, and I wrote, we don't own the rainbow flag. The rainbow means equality for everyone.
Yeah.
Why don't you call the breast cancer people and ask for the color pink back?
Yes.
And, you know, and the Democrats for the color blue back.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
What the fuck? It's not about that. It's about, and so he says, well, I know. I even said to my my daughter, I said, look, I love you no matter what you are, but I'm glad you're not gay. That's like... I could say, you know, I love... My mother could say to me, I love you no matter what. Please don't be a serial... I'm happy you're not a serial killer.
Yeah,
I'm happy you're not a fuck... You know? What the fuck?
Yeah, that's really traumatizing.
Well,
because his daughter just learned at a very young age that she will never be allowed to be herself and be completely
right,
accepted
I'm glad...
By
so she'll know
no
that her
what,
father
yes,
will be
I know,
ashamed
it's awful.
Of her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not...
And now
so
she
that,
has lots
and,
of secrets to hide from
right,
her dad.
And so, she's probably not gay. But you know what I mean?
It's
but
still.
It's, you know, but saying that, I love you no matter what, and then saying, no, I don't.
Yeah, that's traumatizing.
Right. It's like...
Well, what about this thing, like, that people always say, like, oh, you're born gay, like, which I always think, like, who cares?
No, but you want to know what the thing
like,
is.
Why
this
is that
is my whole
thing?
Theory.
Like, what does it
I
matter
was born
if you choose
gay.
It?
No, but you don't choose it. That's the
you
thing.
Don't.
You don't choose it, because no one would. But
no
what
one.
I'm
Why
saying
would
is...
Why would no one choose it?
Because nobody
because
wants
you don't
to
choose.
Be a minority.
Like, can you choose to go be with a woman? Could you choose it? Say, I want to be in a relationship with a woman.
I feel like I could.
No, you could. But here, if you're with Rich Voss, there's no fucking way you could ever be in a relationship with
people
a woman.
People do,
but people,
don't you agree that people are more fluid than that? Their sexuality?
I do believe they're allowed to be more fluid,
I think
and they
women are. Allowed to be more fluid,
right.
And that's why women usually
and the men are allowed to be.
Like
men can be fluid in the under in the DT whatever where they don't tell anyone.
DL or
DL.
They're considered feminine men.
Okay, wait.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe the people who insist that being gay is a choice and are so adamant about that
are a little gay.
No. Will you let me finish?
Yeah. I'm
people
excited.
Who are so adamant about I know it's a choice. It is a choice. Have made that choice. Because I'm telling you, as a gay person, there was no choice.
Right.
There was a
no,
choice.
I
there's the choice to be married
absolutely.
And miserable and live
right.
in the closet.
Right.
Okay.
I'm not trying
but
to
there is no choice.
That at all.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Right.
I went into ex-gay therapy to not like chicks. Like,
right.
I enrolled myself.
Oh, God.
I never told
I know.
Anyone about it.
Right. I,
so,
I,
see,
I, brought
I mean,
it out
I just feel like,
yeah.
I just feel like. Whatever I just if you know I know women who have been with in long-term relationships
right.
with women then they're with men then they're back with women and it's like I just really, you don't like
then
that?
They're bisexual.
Oh, no, no.
I thought you rolled your eyes.
I'm
rolling my eyes because of how much importance we put on this shit. Like,
right.
So what?
That's yes, great. Exactly. That's my point. It's
yeah,
like, it doesn't matter.
Dude, I'm going to fuck a dude.
Right,
like,
right,
to,
right.
You know?
Okay.
Right.
We're done with this fuck a dude shit.
I still, I didn't find
I need to, before we end, we have some questions. And first of all, I want to plug that you have a book coming out in February.
Yes. Oh, how do you know all this? You're
because
so good.
I do.
It's called,
I not prepare?
You're good. You're really good.
What's the name of the book?
It's called You're Better Than Me. And I talk about my growing up and the
right
getting into comedy and stuff.
Okay. And you have your podcast with...
My Wife Hates Me.
Right.
With my wife.
And you have your Sirius radio show.
Called My Wife Hates Me Live.
Right.
Sirius.
Which I haven't been on in quite some time.
But we haven't had... anyone back.
Okay.
Nobody's done it twice.
Anything else that you would like? You're going to this premiere tonight and you have makeup on.
Premiere,
yeah.
I'm
and so
makeup.
What? Anything else you would like?
I'm on a show on True TV called How to Be a Grown Up.
Right. I'm now not on True TV anymore.
Why?
I don't know. They canceled World's Dumbest and now I'm not on the station anymore. It's fine. You have your fucking True TV show.
I didn't get World's Dumbest. Never got it.
Okay, but you have How to Be Grown Up.
How to Be a Grown Up, which is basically just a talking, you know, you're just doing jokes about stacking the dishwasher and shit like that.
Right. And that's what World's Dumbest was. We would make comments about dumb people. Okay. And
that was a funny show.
Thank you. Yeah,
that
I
was
liked
a really
it.
Good show.
Okay. So you're doing stand up around the country.
Well,
not a lot with Raina.
Yeah. I mostly in the tri-state area.
Right. And the book is going to be great. Because you're a great writer. Is this your first book?
Yeah.
First book.
Anthony Bourdain private tweeted me today and said it's really, really good. Because he's the guy, it's his imprint on HarperCollins. He's got an imprint called Echo. So
I noticed that you're a little close with him because I remember you were on some show with him down in the
I roasted him a long time ago and he
No, that's fine. You
liked
and Anthony...
it.
Can go fuck yourself.
I'm very nervous
around him.
I'm very nervous around him. And then
like
Rich
him.
Met him, and then it was like awful because I was like, I'm a little bit of a schoolgirl around
right.
him, and then I was like, oh, Rich is being weird.
Right. I love Anthony Bourdain. I love him.
Yeah, he's great.
What, if any, this is we ask every guest this, medications you're on? Any antidepressants?
I'm not on anything.
What?
Zero.
This is the first time.
Zero.
Ding, 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 ding. You're a comic, and you're not on any antidepressants.
No, I used to be, and I used
what,
to
what were you
suffer,
on? What were you on?
Wellbutrin.
Oh, I take that.
But I did suffer from... I still think I have... what is it called?
OCD, general anxiety disorder, ADHD, ADD, depression. What?
I'm spinning.
Yeah.
Vertigo.
Social anxiety disorder.
Really?
My father has it, and when he was diagnosed, it went like click, 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 click.
Oh, wow.
Like a lot of things went off. He gets so panicky, he'll faint and stuff.
Mm, wow.
So anyway, I have that I've dealt with a lot with drinking. I don't do that so much anymore. But and then I used to get very, very depressed, and I read a book about food and depression, and
what?
It changed my fucking life.
What book? I got to write that down.
I don't remember now. But
that's fucking great.
But it was about, I'll tell you exactly what it was about. It's about cutting sugar out of your fucking diet and really cutting back on wheat. And it really
Atkins.
Did fucking make a huge difference.
No,
in
it's not
life.
The Atkins diet.
Is it diet for depression?
It might be. I mean, I literally read this 15, 20 years
okay,
ago.
Okay, but I have to tell you, I know. I don't really eat a lot of sugar, but I do eat a lot of bread. I know that I should cut all this shit out, but I fucking love it so much.
I love it so much, too. A bread, I could... It's like,
I mean, if I was on a desert island, challah would be one of my items that I would need.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, because sometimes I'll be like challah. Having like a roll or something. I'll be like, oh, I'm being so bad.
I know.
A loaf of bread.
Right, but it was never bad when we were growing up.
Yeah.
Now you get a plate of bread. You're like, no bread, no
right.
bread. Can I have it without a roll?
It was
right.
one of the biggest things on the food pyramid.
Right.
But if you
and
if
now
you
I've
limit
turned into
your wheat
pyramid.
Products...
Yeah.
to one meal, so you can't. The thing is that you can only eat it during. It's the carbohydrate addict's diet. That's what the book
that's
is.
Me.
And so if you limit your carbs to 1 hour a day. So let's say you decide at your dinner time. That's when you can have your bread, you can have pizza, you can have whatever you want. But you don't, after an hour, you're not going to have any more wheat products. And it really did make a huge difference.
Can you shove them down your throat for an hour?
You can eat as much as you like. I mean,
pizza eating contest.
But you don't. You don't, you know, you get full really fast if you haven't had carbs all day.
Right. Oh, nice. It's a trick.
I've now been getting a shake. All right, this is getting so boring, but I do get a shake now. At the gym with peanut butter and banana, and it's protein shake.
Yeah.
And it's good. Little skim milk.
Protein will fill you up for a long time.
That's right. I like it. I like it, but I love the bread.
Sounds good.
Bonnie, I hope you had a good time.
Wonderful. It was
really?
Best. Yes, I loved it.
Because
you.
You're fucking great. And
you're not expecting that.
No, you're great. I think you're great, a great comic, and I'm so happy you're here without your husband because you are your own. You're your own person. You do not.
Yes.
It's like you're great on your own.
Thank you. Judy.
I wish only success to you. And please tell everyone you know that you loved being on the podcast.
I love being on the podcast. I love you both.
Did you think that it's different? Do you think it's different than a lot of other people's podcasts, or is it the same?
I haven't done that many podcasts, but yeah, it's certainly nobody else has ever asked me questions about my life.
Right. I'm fascinated by people's lives. I don't want to hear about your career and you have this thing coming out and you did this. I love that. I think everyone has a story.
Oh, that's absolutely. What
I
agree.
And I want to know what pisses people off because then they're really passionate.
Right.
And I'm always pissed off about something because
I think you should be. Like, that's the thing.
But it's like injustice.
Injustice
pisses me the fuck off.
There's so much of it. You should be pissed off.
All right.
We all should.
Lauren, thank you for your feedback today.
No pun intended.
Oh, yeah. You're at Bonnie McFarlane. BonnieMcFarlane.
You got it.
That's your tweeter. What's your, do you have a Webby?
I don't really do anything else.
On the website? Do you have a website?
No, I don't have a website.
What about Facecock?
What's that?
Facecock. Facebook.
No.
No Facebook.
I mean, I do have a Facebook. I mean, it's...
I know. It's so much work.
I don't know what it's going on.
I know.
I really just read the news feed, and it's from people I don't know.
Right.
It's like I can't comment on anything because I don't know any of the people.
All right, that's fine. At least you have Rich and Raina. Thank you, Bonnie. Hope we'll have you on again in the future. Good luck to you. And please, Bonnie, please get a fucking easy pass.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.